Welcome to Shaylee and Katie's Lemonade Stand.
We're trying to figure out how to do this thing. The mom thing, the entrepreneur thing.
All while turning all the lemons into lemonade.
I'm Katie Day, a mom of four.
And I'm Shaylee Murphy, a mom of two.
Before FreshBooks Cloud Accounting, you know how I would create invoices?
Oh, I'm excited to know.
I had this super fancy InDesign file that I would open up and I would type into and I would export, and it took a little while, so I'd just write on my to-do list, okay, on Mondays, I'm just going to take an hour and I'm going to create all those invoices that I've been waiting on.
Oh, so you would work for free to try to get paid from the clients that you were trying to charge for giving design?
But now I can do it from my phone in the parking lot before I even leave the photo shoot, and it looks good.
Yeah, that sounds better. Guys, the all-new FreshBooks is ridiculously easy to use. You can use FreshBooks to create and send beautiful invoices in about 30 seconds, and there's no formatting and no formulas. FreshBooks is offering a 30-day, unrestricted, free trial to all of our listeners. Just go to FreshBooks.com/SK and enter Shaylee and Katie in the How Did You Hear About Us section.
FreshBooks, get paid from your car.
But not like you're selling anything illegal. Businesses across the country love running payroll with Gusto because Gusto automatically files and pays your taxes. It's super easy to use, and you can add benefits and management tools to help you take care of your team and keep your businesses safe and not arrested. Listeners get a free 3-month trial when they run their first payroll. So try out a demo and test out Gusto for yourself at gusto.com/SK. That's gusto.com/SK.
Welcome back to Shaylee and Katie's Lemonade Stand. We have a very exciting interview. Katie Kelly is here today, who is a professional organizer trained by Marie Kondo.
Guys, we have Marie Kondo here. Sorry. She's met Marie Kondo.
Marie
Kondo. I read that note wrong.
You read that wrong. And we're going to get into all things KonMari. But before we get started, we, of course, have to thank our amazing
fake sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by a box of sentimental letters from your middle school friends.
Okay, so contractually we have to come up with at least one tagline for this. I think this only needs one, probably. Okay, so Katie, you got anything?
Yeah, sure. A box of sentimental letters from your middle school friends. If it's folded more than 12 times, just throw it away.
Just throw it away. That was probably not important.
Thanks, box of sentimental letters from your middle school friends.
Okay, that's good. Now that we're done with that.
Okay, Katie Kelly is here, and we want to hear your journey to becoming a professional organizer.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, thank you for having me.
You're
this
so
is
welcome.
So exciting.
Like, we're, I was talking, we're like starstruck.
I know, we're really excited.
And I'm just thrilled to talk to somebody who knows what the KonMari method is and has done it. My journey to the KonMari method, I actually always considered myself pretty tidy. And I remember the day I saw that little blue book in Barnes & Noble or Target. I'm sure everybody saw it in Target, things like that. And I remember picking it up, holding it, thinking it was so, like, pretty. Mm-hmm. I flipped through it, and I put it back. And I was like, nope, I'm already organized. And I walked away. Fast forward, I was a new, like, working mom. Mm-hmm. I had an almost 1-year-old, and I was pushing through like pharmaceutical sales job trying to make the working mom thing work. And I was so, like, I hate to say, like, miserable. I thought I could do the working mom thing. My husband and I decided to see what it looked like for me to step away and be a 100% stay-at-home mom. And that was just as hard as being a working mom. And one day my husband sent me a text, and I was like, maybe months into my staying at home mom thing. And he sent me a text, and it was a link to a podcast where a woman, a Japanese organizer, was being interviewed. And all his text said was, listen to this podcast. I don't know how she is not you. It just kind of meaning like, for being a tidy person and liking to organize, that did you know that this is actually a job?
Like, you can do this.
You can do this.
Cool.
And so I listened, and I was like, that's that book. And so I learned, like, I did KonMari as a means to an end. Most people who become a KonMari consultant usually start with the method and love it so much and then realize, oh my gosh, I can do this as a job. And me, I was like, oh, I want to organize people's homes. I'm such a rule follower that I thought, who am I to come into somebody's home and just tell them where to put things? Mm. But this method gives you the complete path and an outline on how to do it.
So you're like, I need a reason to be bossy.
Yeah, tell them what that is. It's not me.
It's the book. Exactly. Also, when you held the book in Target, would you say
it sparked
that it possibly sparked joy when you said you saw it? And I love the way it looked and how and I held it in my hands. And I was like, foreshadowing.
Something inside my soul just rose up
like a tingle. Okay.
Yeah, it did.
But I put it right back on the shelf. Because I'm that good. That's the true. When you KonMari the KonMari book, I feel like that's the that's the level unlocked there. Okay. Okay. So very cool. So, okay. Did you just like call up Marie Kondo and say,
good question,
train me? Or how did that step happen? Because that's pretty ambitious.
Yeah. So this was in 2016. And I knew the steps to becoming a consultant was to read both of like The Life-Changing Magic and Spark Joy.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You implement the method in your own home, mm-hmm. and then you apply to attend one of the seminars. So by the end of, probably by early 2017, I had a newborn. Mm-hmm. Then we made it through. I would watch these seminars come and go, and it was never the right time. Mm-hmm. And then our family moved from Kansas City to Springfield.
Okay.
And I signed up. We heard that the Netflix series was going to be released. And I looked at my husband and I was like, it's now or never.
Like, it's going to explode. I'm getting millions of dollars of free marketing if I can get signed on before this. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
So we signed up and I attended the New York seminar this spring, which is another requirement to becoming a consultant. Mm, okay. So I attended the seminar. Then I spent all summer working through practice requirements. So taking clients through their entire home. And meeting those requirements, then I sat through an exam and a phone interview, and then I got certified. And so now I can say I'm an official KonMari consultant. And so the only difference there is that anybody who's completed the method can absolutely walk somebody else through the method. Mm-hmm. But the training that we got in New York was just like a deeper dive into the like how to be a consultant, mm-hmm. not how to do the method.
Right.
And it's a really beautiful process
that
ends up taking it from like a home organization thing to like a wellness thing.
Oh, totally. It's like you're like a psychologist. You're like helping heal people. Well, and I'm sure we've all seen Hoarders, or at least I do, because it's like watching a car accident that you can't look away from. But you talk about that where they're like, if somebody just went in and like threw everything away in your house, like you're not solving the deeper issue to how it got that way. Yeah. So you're not like making it not happen again. So just like you being really good at tidying anyway, I even talk about that with like interior design. Like you can be really great at interior design. The degree just makes it like helps you enhance what you already naturally had. So it's not that you can't do it without the other, but it's so much better just laying out, like making sure you're really intentional of how to do it right and treating the whole thing. So
exactly.
I'm so, how lucky is Springfield to have you?
Seriously. And also how inspiring. We have a lot of like moms who maybe stay at home, but are still just have that something inside them that wants to build something or a business mm-hmm. or contribute. And like, this is such a fun take on it that you did the full-time work, the full-time mom. And then this is somehow the path that you took to kind of combine the two.
And how old are your kids?
2 and 4.
Oh, yes.
2 boys.
Yeah.
Nailed
yeah.
it.
Okay, cool. So will you give us an overview of the method?
Yeah. So for any listeners who haven't seen that book, like we've talked about the Netflix show. That's another way that, you know, they'd identify it or know what it is. But a brief overview, it's an approach to home organization that's just rooted in mindfulness. And it's based on establishing that vision for your ideal life and what sparks joy to you. And it's unique to your own personal values. So it's supposed to support that ideal life. Mm. And what makes it life-changing is that once you complete it, you're never going to have to do it again.
Hmm.
The 6 fundamental elements, do you want me to kind of go
through those? Yeah, oh, please. Things?
Okay.
Awesome. I like know and I'm still like, tell me more.
Awesome. So number one is commit. You must commit to tidying up once and for all. And so that means you've probably seen some of the approaches that might say, remove one item from your home a day mm-hmm. or declutter this a little bit. I think there's even a challenge out there that like it's a 30-day challenge and you remove one a day on day one.
Right.
Two on day two, three on day three.
Oh, wow.
And
day five, I'm like, I lost count. Can I just get all whatever the grand total is today? Is that
fine? And so the KonMari method believes that if you tidy a little bit at a time, you're going to be tidying forever. So mm-hmm. the goal is make a commitment and you do it in one fell swoop in mm-hmm. a relatively short amount of time. Mm-hmm. In relation to your entire life.
Right. You know? Yeah. Everyone who's been moving junk around for 20 years is like, amen.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. Yeah. Never Number done. Two is you begin with a vision. And your listeners could even do that now. It's just imagine what your ideal lifestyle looks like. And for moms, that is so hard. You know, like, it might be I want to go into the bathroom without seeing a hand, like, under the door or something mm-hmm. like that. Just, right. You know, or I was saying the other day, like, a trip to Target for just 30 minutes before I have to come home and nurse my baby, you know? Mm-hmm. So that ideal life is really hard for moms to imagine, and sometimes we just don't give ourselves permission to do it, you know?
Right.
But for anybody, what I would challenge you to do is just imagine your ideal lifestyle. What kind of home do you want to live in? Like, how do you want your current home environment to look? What activities bring you joy? Who do you want around? What do you want to be doing in your home? Things like that. And that vision ends up being your touchstone throughout the entire tidying festival, is what we call it, you know? Mm-hmm. So the entire process, you're referring back to your vision for every decision you make. So it's really important that you don't skip over that part.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Number three is you finish discarding first. So what do we usually do when we get that tidying bug, like at New Year's or something mm-hmm. like that, and we're so excited to tidy? Usually we end up at like Target or
Organizing Bin. I just yes. want a whole bunch of containers. And it's going to make me feel so accomplished while they yes. sit in the corner of my garage.
Yeah. So I'm going to okay. bring home more stuff to put my stuff in.
I feel like I need a container to hold all these brand new containers. So go ahead and yeah. stack them.
Do you need
in the
a
garage.
Bag for that? Yes, please.
Yeah. Okay. So the key to success, like I said, is discarding first. Okay. So you can only plan where you're going to store your belongings and how you're going to store your belongings once you have an accurate grasp on what you actually have and what needs to be
That's
stored.
That's such good advice. Ladies, put the bin down.
That's right.
You're listening in your AirPods right now, putting bins into your car.
This one has six sections. I wonder what I own at home that might be divisible by six.
Let's find out.
I better buy it. I bet there's something. It's six oranges, like one in each section.
Yeah. And so that's what I do. I discourage clients from buying anything when we start our journey together because what's cool about this, too, is storage solutions begin to reveal themselves as you declutter. And I don't know if you experienced that when you went through it. But
you have less stuff, and then you're like, oh, I have room for my stuff.
Yeah.
No, or like I have 300 empty hangers. I have this nice box that now that I'm not hoarding these, like, letters, I have this empty box. So what could I put in the empty? Yeah, it's like all these boxes appear.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. One client I worked with, like, we kept coming across these, like, green storage bins. And, like, we got to the end and she was like, those green storage bins do not bring me joy. And I would come, like, we'd find new things that we needed to put somewhere and I'd bring her a bin. And she was like, no, that's a green one. I can't. Like,
right.
And so she was so satisfied at the end of the festival to, like, let those green storage bins go.
Mm, I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's really cool, too, so I will give you, like, some everyday products that end up being really good storage containers. So, like, Apple products, like Macs and iPhones and
Great
stuff
boxes.
Like that. Those are really good boxes, especially for cords and things like that. So save those. They're, like, white and streamlined and sturdy.
Beautiful.
For moms, Melissa and Doug, those wooden boxes that all those toys come in.
Oh.
So when you declutter the toys,
Absolutely.
Keep those boxes because they end up being great for, like, accessory storage.
Melissa and Doug crates.
Yeah.
You know what I do is I buy a bunch of toys. I just throw the toys right in the trash and just get those sweet, sweet boxes.
This is the cheapest $20 you'll ever spend.
A really nice box.
Yeah. Shoe boxes and some gift boxes are good. And then sentimental items that would otherwise just be stored in a cupboard or a cabinet or in a box. Like, use... Oh. Your stuff wants to serve you.
Mm.
So those, like, any kind of containers that would be sentimental but not in use.
Like your grandma's vintage purse or something. Like, put your necklaces in it. Like, one of those that looks like a box.
Uh-huh.
And it's really structured.
Absolutely.
You could store jewelry in it.
Yeah.
That is very specific.
I have one.
I'm wondering.
I'm going to
say,
Shaylee,
do you have a
I do not. It is shoved in the top of my closet, not sparking any joy.
It's inside a plastic
container.
But I can't
get rid of it because it's my grandma's. Yeah, it's inside of a plastic container.
Yes.
A green one.
Find a use for it. I inherited some, like, little silver dishes that just, like, I couldn't think of any way to use them. But now they're kind of in different places, like in closets or something that can hold jewelry. Or
That's a great idea.
Yeah. Yes. Number four, tidy by category, not by location.
That's a problem. Yeah. I need scissors on every floor.
I'm so glad you mentioned scissors.
Let's talk about those. We both have. I have an 8-month-old and a 3.5-year-old, yeah. So I'm right in your child age range.
Yes.
Scissors, real, man.
They are. And they're all over the house until you tidy by category. Right?
Okay.
But yeah, like usually most organization methods follow like a room by room approach. Like today I'm going to tackle the kitchen, or like I'm going to clean out my master closet. But that doesn't generally work because in most homes, like items belonging to the same category are typically stored in other places in the home.
Everywhere. Right? You have a junk drawer in every room of your house, essentially.
And, it makes it impossible to kind of grasp the volume of the things that we actually own. And it's also the reason we continue to tidy over and over again. Like, you feel like you just cleaned out that pantry, and now, 3 days later...
And you never, put it away, because if you see scissors, you're like, I'll just put these here, or there, or the other seven places I have scissors in my house. Scissors. Maybe I should tidy some of those up.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, so the best approach for lasting results is to tidy by category, and that means you gather all the things in one category all together at one time. And so that's, for me... The two biggest surprises I found when I went through it were flashlights and scissors. That, like, when you start to gather everything, you're like, why did I need this many? Like, really, I just need probably one pair of scissors.
Yes. And the funny thing is, those are the two things that you can never find. Where you're like, where is that flashlight?
Yeah, that's exactly. So
electricity is out.
Yeah, and I find that with, like, certain maybe cleaning supplies. Like, I'm out of this
Windex.
Whatever. Yeah, Windex. And then once you start compiling, you're like, I have four bottles of Windex. And none of them were where I thought.
I couldn't find any bottles of Windex.
Great, yeah.
I'll buy another Windex. Versus, oh, Sam's. There's three. Three for one.
It's a cycle. But rather than... This is the one bucket of cleaning supplies, and I can carry that bucket to other places when I need to use it. Huh. I don't need it, like, so accessible right near my hand.
And I'm still not cleaning. That's crazy.
Maybe if I put the mop on the floor and just store the
floor cleaner on the floor, I'll clean my floor more.
I'll put a hook on the mirror with mirror cleaner.
Okay.
Yeah,
that wasn't a real example. Okay.
So number five is you follow the correct order of tidying. So we just talked about categories, so then categories come in a particular order. Okay. They are clothing, then books, then papers, kimono, which is miscellaneous.
Yeah. Oh, and I don't have any of those.
What?
Done.
Tidied.
I have a weird amount of kimono, so I might need to clarify.
Okay.
And then finally, sentimental items. We can break those down if you want to, but really it's in this particular order to help us hone our sensitivity to what brings us joy, and we'll get to that, but helps us with our decision making. And I don't know, has anybody ever sat out to start tidying and start organizing, and then you've found that you've been looking at photos for a few hours?
Reading the box of sentimental letters from your middle school friends.
Or not even reading, I'm just unfolding.
Just mainly unfolding them. It takes 12 minutes each.
That's very true. Yeah, you get real into it. Or you just think, well, I have all of this because I want to keep all of this because it's all sentimental to me. I can't get rid of anything.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you start, I liked what you said, honing your decision-making skills, because it is a skill. And
you get a little addicted to it.
We've talked about your prefrontal cortex and how important that is in decision-making, and it can fatigue. It is like it's a renewable, it has a finite. So if you start with clothes and you go, this sweater has a hole in it. Like, this is not emotional anymore. The sweater has a hole in it. Let's get rid of it. And then you're gaining that momentum. By the time you get to the letters, you've discarded so many things, gained your confidence that you can say, I don't even know if I want to read this. I'm not dating this person anymore. I have moved on.
It's honestly a little weird. I have four kids now with another man.
Go ahead and discard the hole in the sweater and move on. And then maybe you look around and go, maybe I want to discard this house. Maybe I want to discard this job.
Oh.
Maybe this bad relationship I'm in, should just start discarding.
Oh, careful.
Don't discard. That's what KonMari says in her book.
I would love to. You can come with me on sessions now.
Yeah, Katie's.
So fun.
Obsessed.
But it's true. And sentimental items can be anything. Mm-hmm. So as you're going through these categories, you might have a book that's sentimental. You might have clothing that's sentimental. And so when I'm working with a client, we just put those aside for the sentimental category.
Yes.
So then you can tackle all of that at once.
Because if they're doing their clothing and then they're like, this is all my grandma's clothes that I took when she moved. You're like, okay, put those in the other pile. You don't even decide yet. Yeah. Okay.
Or I wore this dress on my honeymoon, but it doesn't really fit. And instead of taking a lot of time like to hash that out right then, let's set it aside. Because by the time you're ready, you know?
Yeah. And I want to get back down to that size, but I'm working through a lot of stuff.
I'm working at it. I'm a lot bigger than I'd like to be.
Feel like you're a therapist almost?
You can't. It does get to be like that. Mm-hmm. But what's really cool is it's more of like a, I can't advise. Like an not even accountability partner. Like, it's sometimes nice to just hold space for somebody while they're there to do this. Like,
you're guiding them through it. It's not your decision to make.
They're not my decisions to make. Mm-hmm. And that's what's so beautiful about the method, that who am I to tell you what you should keep, where you should put it, you know? And, like, there's general guidelines with storage and things like that. But outside of that, it's ultimately... Yeah. The client, you know,
that 3-foot toy horse really sparks that much joy, huh?
Yeah.
I think your living room is the best place for it. You're right.
I want you to become the passive aggressive KonMari organizer.
Really? That, huh?
Really?
That's your choice.
Wow. Okay. Cool. Well, we'll take up all of this closet for that.
I'm throwing that right in the trash. Who am I to tell you?
I'm just a professional organizer whose life isn't in shambles.
Do you know how many tests I've taken?
Shaylee, I met Marie Kondo in person.
But you're right.
Go ahead.
You just decide. I mean, this is never going to fit you again, Karen. Your hips just don't go back, Karen. You've had too many kids.
Oh, Karen. It used to be Vanessa was our
Vanessa.
Favorite. Now it's Karen.
We know too many Karens in real life.
I know, that's so true. Vanessa. We've got to switch it back to Vanessa.
I'm not talking about any Karens, specifically Karens.
That is beautiful. So it feels like a very generous way for you to be their guide. But also, I would say even just reading the book felt like you're also giving them permission, which some people need, which is like, this gift that you received that you dislike, that you are keeping because of the off chance that person might stop by and you're going to pull it out of this closet.
I have so many.
I am giving you permission to discard that and say thank you and have gratitude. And if you needed someone just to tell you that, it's okay. I'm that person, but it's up to you.
Yeah.
That's so true. And I, one thing that I like from even, I've watched all the shows and I watched them when I was living in this very apartment that we're recording in with too much stuff. And we put all of our stuff in storage bins and we paid handsomely for it for 8 months to store all of our junk that then you forgot you even had it. And then you were like, so if all of those like storage bins just burned up.
Right.
I'd be fine.
I'd be fine.
But once I see it again, I'm going to be like, I need all that stuff.
Mm. You brought up something. Just, I love the word value and what it means, because sometimes you don't want to part with something because you remember how much it cost.
Yes, exactly.
But then I think about if you've ever paid for storage, you think, oh, wait, little physical space in my life also has value. Like, it is like a cost.
Maybe you don't need a 5,000 square foot house for all your old college boards that I've now gotten rid of. Thank you to Faye. But also, I think that for me, it's that I feel guilty about keeping stuff sometimes, yes. But also, if it's just like, that costs a lot of money and it was from Anthropology and it doesn't have any holes and it doesn't fit my body. But that was a good deal, and I don't want to get rid of it because it's like a good shirt. And I have 3 white long sleeve shirts, but that's a good one. I don't want to get rid of that one. The one that doesn't fit. It doesn't flatter my body. I don't know what story I tell myself.
Right.
But the fact that it's like, no, you're not saying it's a garbage shirt. You're not saying it's like a bad shirt or that it's a trash shirt. You're saying that you don't need it anymore. It's a great shirt.
Yeah.
It served you well that one time that you wore it underneath the jacket because it doesn't flatter your body.
It's but a great under jacket
thank
shirt.
You, shirt, for that one time.
Yeah.
For making me look bad. And give it away.
No, you're even passive aggressive in your items.
But you know what I mean, though? Like, you don't have shirt. To. It's not that it's a bad shirt. It's just, it's okay. It can be a great shirt and a great shirt that you don't need. And it could be someone else's perfect shirt.
Someone else's perfect shirt. And I'm being selfish by hoarding it on my body to look bad when it could compliment someone else so well.
Not and you're contributing. So when you let that go, you're giving a spark to somebody else.
With a different body shape.
Karen.
They already have all the sparks. If they're a different body shape, they're the perfect hanger-like person.
If your body is perfect, you have no problems.
You have no problems.
Shaylee Murphy's hot take.
I'm just going to say, for the record, if Katie put the shirt on, Katie Kelly, who we're interviewing right now, it'd probably look great on her.
Wow, thanks for specifying the last name so no one thought you meant Katie Day.
Well, I'm just saying.
Wow. Woo! Katie Kelly. Now Katie Day.
Ooh. I don't know what order the episode's coming in.
Katie Day's got real Karen hips.
Katie lost 90 pounds. So that's true. Katie probably looked great in that shirt. Too. We'll have them both try it on and we'll have a fashion show. We'll see.
I'll post pictures. Guys, no, we'll let you hear all the audio for fashion.
It'll be great.
Okay,
we're getting off topic. Moving on. Sorry.
That's okay.
I'm sorry, Katie Kelly.
No.
I'm not sorry, Katie.
Not sorry, Katie Day. Okay.
Number six, and I can recap these six things if you want.
Okay.
But the last thing that's last of the fundamental elements for the KonMari method is you ask yourself if it sparks joy. So we talked about it a little bit.
Yeah.
But you're deciding what you want to keep in your life. You're not necessarily, if you just kind of reframe it in your mind, you're not thinking what I want to let go of. You're thinking about what you want to keep because we're remembering that vision of our ideal life. So does this white shirt support that vision of my ideal life or my ideal self?
Give us an example of a vision. What was your vision for your home?
For me,
if that's not too personal.
No, not at all. And it is for some people, but no, I'm totally fine to share. It started with it might sound silly. My husband and I called it Napa Valley Living. Our honeymoon, 11 years ago, was to Napa Valley. And we were just married, poor. It felt like such a luxurious trip to stay in a little cottage, out in wine country. And we remember it, I had just moved in to his house right before we got married. So I had been there a few months. And it was such an eye-opening experience to stay in this tiny one-bedroom cottage. And we were why do we feel so light and relaxed? Mm-hmm. And so we'd come home and we would be Napa Valley Living. That's what we need to remember.
Yeah,
but it
that.
Transformed into we want to feel in our own home like we do when we're on vacation.
Yes.
And so what did that cottage not have? Sitting around. And it had just the perfect amount of coffee cups. It didn't have piles of stuff. To me, living kind of feel. I wanted a home that if somebody called me last minute and was I'm in the area, I'm stopping by, that I wouldn't hang up the phone and be everybody,
go! I can't even put it away because there aren't even places to put it.
Yeah. So.
Yes, that's beautiful. Or you say, we're not home.
We're not home. Are you here?
It's a weird story. My van's out front because of a
flat tire.
I'm looking at you in the window. Okay, you can come in.
I'm looking at you and all your stuff.
My house is dirty. Please come in.
Okay, Napa Valley Living. I'm taking that now.
I'll be
my husband and I stayed in a cottage in Napa Valley. I'll have the whole thing memorized.
Kidding. And I think, Shaylee, I think we talked about this on a previous episode just as far as part of why vacations feel so great is because even just think about the worst case scenario. If your kids strung every single item out of the suitcase, it would take you, 30 minutes at the end of the day to put all of those items back in the suitcase? You just don't have that many items, and that's part of your freedom is the limit of items that you take with you on the vacations.
The laundry's easier.
We brought you two toys because we weren't going to bring all of your toys. Oh, weird.
And you're still playing with the stick.
right? You seem very entertained, and yet two toys. And right back in the basket.
Yeah.
That's
so true. But everybody's vision is different. Yeah. Some people want a really light. I had a friend who kind of did this along with me, and she was like, I just want light, airy. I want my house to look white. And she has two girls, and I was like, it doesn't work in my house.
Yeah, white. White everywhere.
You're like, I'm going to need a taupe.
Yeah.
Is there anything that pen doesn't show up on?
Yeah, exactly. And then finally is to express gratitude. That is a big thing to remember within the Sparks Joy. It's critical, and it doesn't always come intuitively. So when we talk about thinking an item that you're letting go of, I don't know about you all when you went through it and did this. Was it easy to say thank you, or did it feel...
Feels a little weird at the beginning, I think.
I don't think... I can't remember if I said it...
Did you say it out
loud? Out loud or not.
But like maybe I should have. Like in a serious tone. Maybe you didn't do it right.
Yeah, I don't know.
Whoops. Everything out.
I'm going to go get all this stuff from those thrift stores.
And you have to apologize. And then thank it.
I don't remember if I said it out loud or not, but I remember when I would struggle with what the thing was, I would try to think, what would be the sentence I'd be saying to change this to gratitude, which was like, oh, a big one for me was like, thank you for teaching me what doesn't suit my body type. That I like education also... costs money, so I have been educated that I have to buy something A-line.
Or I have a master's degree and stuff that doesn't look good on my body.
Right, exactly. And now I kind of know I don't have to even try that on, because what did we learn? The boxy shirts that are just the rectangle with no waist don't fit over my hips. I have to wear a jacket.
I love
over
the example you gave. I still giggle about it, because I've done it so many times, and I feel like all the women have, where you're like, if it's a shirt that you can only wear with a cardigan or a jacket or has to have a belt. Because right, there's so many times I'd try something on and be on sale and I'd be like, I mean, I think if I belt it. And I'd be like, if you have to like make all of these, like I have to do three things for it to look okay on me, then it probably just doesn't look good on you.
Maybe you don't need the $6
shirt.
Maybe
you don't need the $6
shirt. That will probably fall apart at the seams.
Yeah,
that's good. So I don't remember if I said thank you, but I loved the gratitude part of it, and you know, thank you for I'm more of like a God person. What's that mean? So I'd maybe say like, thanks, you know, thank you God for this college t-shirt, because college was amazing and not everyone gets to go. And I don't know if I would think the t-shirt itself, but I think gratitude is probably the most important.
It's the mindset. I think it's just like the exercise of being. And I think thinking it makes you feel less guilty. Yeah. Like in my mind, it's like, oh, we're good, shirt. You're not mad at me, right? Like we're all on the same page and I'm showing you gratitude, you know, for leaving. It almost makes me, I feel bad for things, for random objects.
Do you? You personify?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I feel bad that for you, then. It's like, yeah, the thinking part. Yeah, because it makes me feel better about like, I don't want anything to be mad at me. I don't want any person or thing to be mad at me, even the shirt. So I think in a way it makes you feel good, like I'm giving them something as I put it off into the universe.
What about you? Was it weird for you to think things?
It wasn't. It was, at first it was probably hard to say it out loud, just because I was self-conscious about like my husband like hearing me.
He said, but what'd you do it?
he did agree to do it with me. So when we did, when we started with clothing our first day, like, and I think, who went first? I think he went first, but when it was my turn, like, he would sit next to me and he'd be like, did you thank it? I'd say thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
But exactly what you said, that thinking it really does kind of give you permission. So instead of having somebody present with you saying, you have permission to make this decision, like, I think that gratitude aspect, like, A, gives you permission to part with it. But I think my favorite thing about it is that, like, when you're letting go of something that's served its purpose, and you're doing it with a feeling of gratitude, then you begin to foster appreciation for what is, like, the things in your life. Mm-hmm. And you begin to take better care of the belongings you actually have, like, what you're keeping.
The kid with two toys that protects them with their life versus the kid with, like, 27 baby dolls. I don't know who that'd be. She just throws them everywhere. That's really good. Do you find it hard? This is just a curiosity question. Is it weird when you sit with people, like, let's say, like, my mom would hire you. You know, she's in her 60s, very, very early 60s.
Like,
sorry,
basically
mom. 60. Sorry, mom. She listens. But, like, let's say someone hires you because they're, like, organizer. And they don't really know 100% what they're, like, setting up for. And then you're like, okay, so now we're going to think the items. How do you, like, segue into that in, like, a casual sort of way? Or is anyone ever like, no?
Nobody has told me no, But I have had to ease into the, like, reminding.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. So you're like, okay, let's try that again. This time with the thinking.
Oh, this is my favorite character. Shaylee. The mean organizer.
Shaylee, the mean organizer.
No, that's a really good question. I would say nobody actually has had... Somebody who's seeking KonMari services... Mm-hmm. Generally knows what they're getting into.
They googled KonMari. They saw Netflix at least.
Yeah, probably. Somebody's not calling me, kind of being like, "Can you come take care of my pantry while I'm at work?"
It's
a
mess. Right? Yeah,
you just get in there and
really scrub it clean.
Yeah. And so I think the people who I do work with are open to this. And somebody gave a really good example. Like, think about working with a personal trainer or something like that. Mm-hmm. Are you going to be like, yeah, I'll do that, but, like, not doing setups.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
You know?
Do you greet the house?
I do.
I love that. Oh, my gosh. The first time I saw it on Netflix and everybody started crying, I was like, why am I emotional?
Yes.
Because it's like we don't just sit still and think about, like, how amazing it is that we have shelter and all the memories that have happened. And I love the greeting the house.
The greeting of the house. I always think of the production side of it. So I'm like, there's like seven different angles because they got to like keep it snappy. So it's like, cue the greeting music. And then they do like all the angles of her greeting it. And then they show the people and they're always kind of like.
Yeah.
But it is. It's nice. It's kind of like allowing the space to be grateful for what you have and thinking about it, which is such a good reminder.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is like some people, I think it catches people by surprise because exactly like you said, we don't take the time for it every day. But when you get into that habit, it is kind of amazing how these, like, that gratitude extends out into other areas of your life.
Yeah. I love that. I'm grateful for your apartment. I'm sorry I disrespected you for 8 months when I was...
I gotta get out of here!
...mad about living here. Katie goes, why did you complain so much about having to stay here?
It's pretty dreamy. It's fully stocked. But that room is huge in there. It's the size of three bedrooms.
There were three of us living in it.
And there you go.
You all shared that room.
Well, technically, we took some good marital advice, and Jonathan slept on the couch basically the whole time because he was at our house so much. He'd come in really late, and then Opal and I co-slept because I was also pregnant and miserable.
Oh, my gosh.
So it was like miserable pregnant Shaylee that couldn't turn over, a three-year-old that crouched on my space, and then Jonathan slept on the couch. That was our life.
The dream.
Wooden boxes.
I was just thinking, too, just to tie you into our other guest, Janae Hardy. She talks about what we speak and think, you know, or have so much power over our brains. So I'm thinking back to how you asked if I said it out loud. I bet it does. If you say it to that many items and you greet the house with gratitude, I mean, I guarantee you, you're like reprogramming some of that brain stuff to just be grateful even when you leave the house.
And then before you buy something.
Yes.
So, okay, describe the process that your brain should have or how that changes you, just even as someone going through it or as an expert, whichever. Okay. But yeah, how does that shift?
I'll share how it worked for me because everybody's going to be different and there is no like should or something like that. I wouldn't want somebody to be like, that didn't happen
this
for me.
This is how you should feel.
Exactly. So do you mean kind of like how, like what to expect kind of like after you've, like during it and
it can be for you personally like because to me it's like going through the whole house but the whole other dynamic of it is what you're bringing into the house becomes a big deal
absolutely and it's exactly that. So one story that stands out in my mind is I moved here from Kansas City and I think my favorite department store there was Nordstrom.
I was gonna guess it
and
I was right.
Okay. And you know the accessories department where there's all these scarves and shawls and things that like you're not gonna wear, like I wasn't gonna wear them,
like I'm gonna wear them on the plaza for the lighting.
Yes, I was like, that shawl would be perfect for my next like plane ride, you know. That I'm
I'll
not
be so chic and all the airport people be like, what does she do for a living?
And so like you're just convinced like I need that and like it's overstimulating. And so for me, that gratitude, like I let go what served its purpose in my life with gratitude. I appreciate what I have. And now I've got a framework for what is allowed in. And you can go into a store like that. Or you could go, I mean, it's an antidote for keeping up with the Joneses. You can go into a store and you can say, those are beautiful. you know, like, I appreciate
them. You can go into someone's houses and be like, I don't need this much space, but like, how cool of a house.
Yes, you have a beautiful house and you can appreciate it. And then you can go home and you can realize that, like, no, the life I have sparks joy for me. Mm. I'm surrounded by things that bring me joy. And that's great that their home is filled with things that bring them joy. I don't need to keep up with that. Or I don't need,
that's does that so make good. Sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes. It really kind of, yeah, like I said, it kind of like hones your, you know, decision-making skills and all of that. So you, I think it brings confidence.
Yeah, yes. Well, and happiness. Yes. Like, confidence to say that, but then happiness to be like, bigger, we need a bigger house to store our junk, and then we make more money and buy more junk, and then we need a bigger house to store the more junk, and then, like, I'm fighting with my husband all the time because the house is never clean. Mm-hmm. Right? And take out an extra job. We don't have all money to have a house cleaner, but if we had a smaller house and less stuff, I could probably just hire a house cleaner.
Yeah,
or not, I wouldn't need one.
Or not need one because everything has a place.
That's really, that's encouraging. We just moved into a bigger house, but there aren't a lot of closets because old house, and so we just vomited into the more square footage, just like, blah. And then, I mean, I'm not terrible at it. I would be like a moderately tidy person, probably. I don't know, Katie, you've been in my house.
I call Shaylee the curated collector because she has many, like, meaningful, she doesn't just like collect stuff. It all is like,
I got a lot of spark is what she's trying to say.
Yeah, a lot of things truly spark joy, but it's not just like, you know, these were 10 for a dollar. So I, well, maybe sometimes if it's like party decor.
Sometimes, but I've decluttered, but yeah, the problem is like a lot of stuff that I found at estate sales during college really truly sparked joy.
Yeah, or your travels abroad and they all bring back meaning and it's all cool looking.
If you're going to travel a lot, don't pick a coffee cup. Is what you're going to bring home from the country when your husband decides to travel over 30 countries. Then you got a lot of coffee cups. You can't go back
again.
And be
as
like,
you mean to
you
go.
Know what? Let's do patches.
Let's do patches.
Let's do like
flat
stickers. You know, let's do just a photo we took just from the trip. Yeah, right. No, make let's an do album. A coffee cup. That then we can't use them because we can't break them because it's our thing special from Cambodia.
That's so true.
Where do you store these? Like, how do you display them?
So that would be a good, we've had grand plans of displaying them. Uh-huh. We kind of displayed them in our old house. Mm-hmm. We had a little hutch, but then when we moved, we got rid of the hutch. And so the plan is to display them eventually, but my husband's also minimalist. So right now we just have really tall, like 11-foot cabinets, and they're just on the top three shelves. Smashed! Not being appreciated.
But if you forever. Ever have, like, a giant coffee party.
If we ever have a giant coffee party, I'm going to be like, everybody be careful. You're breaking our joy. No, we just went to Iceland, and Jonathan was like, we still doing the coffee cup thing? And I was like, get one. Yeah. I don't know how to change it at this
point. We can't stop now.
We've got too many. We're going to be old one day and force our grandkids
you
to
should.
Sit through every single one.
You should take a photo of each one and Andy Warhol it on a wall.
And then still keep them?
No.
No, I'm going to smash them. Have a mug smashing party. I'll be so
that's so sad. That makes my heart sad because they spark so much joy.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I need less stuff. It happened real quick. I thought we lived in an apartment. We're going to just feel like we're living in a mansion, and we did for a little bit, but we haven't figured out the whole storage aspect ratio of what rooms in our house we're going to hold clutter. Yeah, maybe I need to hire you to come greet my home.
Oh, man, that would be so much fun.
That would be fun.
But you're exactly right that, like, you know it, that clutter just results when things don't have a home. So if kind of you know what you have, you know where it goes, and everybody else knows where it goes, like, our house gets messy, you know? Like, life gets busy, things come out of their homes, but the only thing that's different is we all know where these things belong.
Right.
So you kind of, like, when you said, like, the vacation story and stuff, like, it doesn't take long to pick back up. It really doesn't take that long to pick back up. So it's not like there's no numerical value on, like, you should have only this amount of things, you know? Mm-hmm. You should only have this many books or this many kids' toys. You can have as much as you want, but if everybody just knows where they belong, then take, like, the house just kind of ends up supporting you.
Mm-hmm. How young is too young to like tidy? Do your 2-year-old and 4-year-old help you tidy?
The 4-year-old for sure does.
Okay.
The 2-year-old right now enjoys cleaning. Like, he enjoys picking up. And I read there are studies out there that actually the 2-year-old specifically, children crave order. And the two-year-old range is where it usually starts. Oh. And you see it in, like, children who, like, if they meet somebody who normally wears glasses and they see them without their glasses, that totally freaks them
That's
out.
That's so true.
Yeah. Or they're like, where's your hat at? Where's your hat at? And you're like, how do you even remember they had a hat on?
Yeah. So, like, that's their need for things to be orderly and consistent. And so kids actually really benefit from the order. So, like, you talked about the kid with 30 toys who doesn't respect them. They're overwhelmed, you know?
Okay. It's too many Nordstrom shawls for too many Nordstrom shawls. Yeah, and I would notice, too, like, the things that Jared and I will nitpick about mess-wise is kind of like a, okay, well, the kids... why is this pile of papers here? Okay, well, it's all the kids' stuff from their backpack, and I unload it every morning. Well, where does it go? I don't know.
The teacher's like, sent at home. Why do they do that?
Why, teachers? It's like, it feels wrong to be like, this drawing is beautiful. You worked so hard. Right in the trash.
Right in front of your face. Do you ever crumple it and put other trash on top of it so that they don't open it up to throw something away, and they're like, hey!
But totally, it's hard. So I do feel like it's, you can tell right away when it's like, oh, well, it's because, you know, our kids started school for the first time this year. So this wasn't a problem before. So we don't have a home for it yet. So, okay, so let's take the 5 extra minutes and make a home. And now we all know that's the home instead of like spinning your wheels where it's like, wait, did you move this over here? Because that's for sure not where it goes. I moved this up here.
There's a home. It's the dining room table.
We moved it 12 times between the two of us when we could have taken 5 minutes to go. Yeah. Where's this home? Here? Mm-hmm. Great.
And if it doesn't have a home and your house is bigger than it needs to be, then you have too much stuff. Is that what it is? Or I guess you can't tell us because you're guiding us through. What do you think? I feel like I'm going to answer that. I have too much stuff. I mean, it's not all spark and joy. I look at it and I think, if someone just came in here and made all the decisions for me and just threw half of it away and I didn't know what they threw away, I'd be like, ah.
But would she relapse without going through the process?
I don't probably.
She's shaking her head yes. Yeah. Or nodding her head yes.
She is, in a very sweet, gentle way.
It would be like, I don't know why I keep defaulting to the personal trainer thing. This isn't the first time I've done
this.
But it's like, somebody else can't do the workout for you. Like, if you want to make a lifestyle change, like, you have to put in the work.
Yeah.
So, like, a cosmetic procedure could work for a little bit.
Right.
Oh.
And then you have to do it again. Or again, you know?
Right,
but,
right.
Like, doing that hard work... like, it ultimately ends up changing your life. And then you maintenance, like, you're going to always... Yeah. But it all basically, like, you experience a mindset shift that does change your life. So yeah, good. I wouldn't say that you have too much stuff, but I think humans like to fill up free space. Like, whether it's our schedule our homes or, like,
gaps in
silence.
Conversation. Yeah. That's my worst one. Jonathan's always like, silence is okay. You can't learn if you're talking. I don't know how many times I've heard that. I don't know what I was talking.
We're actually going to break right here and call that part one. And we're going to come back next week for part two to finish the interview with Katie Kelly from Refresh Organizing.
I have a third recommendation for somebody who's going this
we
on their
so
own.
We have so gone off the rails.
I am so sorry.
No, it's okay.
It's nice to meet you. It's been shaming Katie melt to oblivion.
Interested in working for yourself? Well, guess what? You already have very needed skills that people will pay big bucks for in the form of a virtual assistant. The Virtual Savvy Checklist and Starter Kit is your guide to starting your own at-home business. And in it, my girl Abby lays out the exact steps you need in order to start your business from home. Our listeners can get it for free at thevirtualsavvy.com/lemonade.
Shaylee and Katie, the podcast was recorded in Springfield, Missouri. Thank you so much for listening. We'd love to hear from you on Instagram, Facebook, and our favorite spot of all, an iTunes review. Also, feel free to email us at shayleeandkatie@gmail.com. We love hearing from you guys. Seriously. We love you.